Okay, yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Wow, here it is. What, is this the third week already in December? I think so. Already. Fast approaching that magical time of year. Christine, would you turn to your partner and say, I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I'm my own creation.
I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I am my own creation.
I am who I am. I'm my own creation.
I am who I am. I'm my own creation.
I am who I am. I'm my own creation.
And I am who I am, and I am my own creation. Why is that so important to know? It's important to know because we're each individualized expressions of God. But after we're individualized expressions of God, we come to this plane of action. And then here we are on this plane of action, and we think that circumstances are creating us. We think that our parents, excuse me, we think that our parents are creating us. What we have to know is that we are creating ourselves moment by moment, and we're doing that with our thinking, with our thoughts, with the choices that we make in life. So, the outside world, or race mind, and here again I'm going to explain race mind because somebody asked me about that once again. Race mind is just the consensus of the race, what people are thinking out there. What would be a race mind thing? Anytime you hear they, it's race mind. Anytime you hear, you'll get a cold if you stand in a draft. That's complete race mind. It has nothing to do with anything. So it's all those, there's chairs over here if you want to get bring closer, or you can sit back and back. So, that is everyone here clear on what when I use the word race mind? It's the consensus or the collective consciousness of what's going on out there. And we try to stay away from race mind because that collective thing makes us into sheeple. And then we're not people any longer. We're sheeple and we're following everybody else. And we start to believe all that race mind stuff. If you believe race mind stuff, race mind is always going to be in what's called the law of averages. It's always going to be in the law of averages. What does that mean? That means statistics. That means average. 3 out of 4 people get something. That's all of that is race mind. What we teach here is the law of cause and effect. That means we raise our consciousness to a higher level so that we can see things differently, so that we know that we have a choice. So when you say, I am who I am my own creation, that gives you freedom, because now you can do something about it. If you think your circumstances are causing who you are, there's nothing you can do about that. You see, and a lot of people do that, especially addicts, remember, and that's the whole idea of the geographical cure. They think, well, if I move, things will be different. Can never get away from yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. So you have to realize that. So the freedom and the responsibility is wonderful when you realize I'm the one that's doing this. I'm the one that's causing all these things in my life, and I'm causing myself to be who I am. I'm creating my personality. And as I say, in this city, you see that all the time. People are always recreating themselves in this city. So if you don't like who you are or what you're doing, you can create that. But you don't blame it on, I've always been this way. It runs in my family. We've always done it this way in my family. I've always been a Democrat or whatever. That is not giving yourself freedom. That is not creating. You are here to create your own life. You are here to find out who you are. Every lesson that's in front of us is a lesson not to punish us, not to be punitive anyway, but to show us how we can grow. And the only way we grow is by making a different choice. And we make choices just constantly. You know, millions and trillions of choices we're making in our lifetime. Each choice adds up. It's our experiences that are adding up. But it's the choice that we add. I'll tell you a cute story. I had an incident today. I had was waiting for an appointment at a hospital to have what's called a Mohs procedure done. And I had waited 8 months for the appointment. And I got up early this morning to go. And I got there and all. They took all the things and then they said, well, this has been canceled. This has been canceled. I said, you've got to be joking. Now, my choices are, I can get angry and stamp my feet. I can yell and scream. I can cuss and swear. I can do all kinds of things. Or I can know that I'm responsible for my actions and my reactions, and I can decide which I want, how I want to think, how I want to do this whole thing. This is how we create ourselves. We just don't go on to automatic. And most people out there are running on automatic, and they're repeating everything that their parents did. They're just repeating. To me, that's called an imitation of life. You're not living your own life, you're living somebody else's life. So learn to live your own life, but know that it comes from your choices. So when you say, I am who I am my own creation, that gives you the freedom to create something. You're here to create, and you're here to learn. And what are we here for? We're here to learn to control all these wonderful emotions that we have. But we don't control our emotions. We let our emotions control us. So anyway, I walked out of the hospital feeling very good today. I didn't yell and scream. Years ago, I'd have reached across the desk, you know, and ripped the person's heart out. And by the time I left that hospital, everyone in the hospital would have known I was there. Today, I just said, okay, we'll start this over. I don't know. The crazy-making part is, who canceled it? I didn't cancel it. But these are the choices. So life is always going to be a choice. And that's what this teaching is all about. To teach you to use your thinking. To learn to control your thinking. You see? And then watch the movements of your mind. On the way home from the hospital, my mind went completely. I just left it go. I thought, oh, I'll just watch what you do, you know. I had people strung up. I wanted to kill the one person. At least the worst she could do is be fired, and this had to happen, and that had to happen. These are just scenarios that your mind just keeps throwing out at you and throwing out at you and throwing out. They mean absolutely nothing. But you have to choose, which scenario do I want? How do I want to react to this whole situation? And that's how you create yourself. So you're always creating yourself. Let's look at this little thing that comfort I had. The love of God comforts me and fills me with new hope. When I am most in need of comfort, I remember I have choices. You have to know that you have choices. People say, oh, well, I'm stuck, I can't be. You always have a choice. And by not making a choice is a choice, by the way. You're choosing not to make a choice. That's a choice. I remember I have choices. Through honoring my, though honoring my feelings is important. Yes, you have to honor your feelings. Remember, the life of the organism is feelings. I refrain from being consumed by negativity or sadness. We have to do that on our own. I know I can cultivate a higher level of thought and action to carry me forward. This is what we were always trying to do, to cultivate a higher level of thought and action. A higher level of thought and action. So, did I want to? What did I have to do in that hospital? I had to sit there and remember that everyone there was God. That I wasn't the only one there. And I wasn't arrogant enough to think, well, I'm spiritual and this shouldn't have happened to me. Or these people don't know or anything. You have to know that everybody is God. And everything is God. These are the mindsets that you have to have in. This is when this teaching comes in very handy. You know, this is a practical teaching. It's to be used every day. So by controlling my thinking, I controlled my feelings. And then I was able to feel what I wanted to feel instead of feeling down and out. Years ago, I would have come home and drank. You know, that would have gone. You know, that would have solved this whole problem. But I don't have to do that. I make better choices today. So, cultivate a higher level of thought and action. At all times, my strength comes from knowing God's presence is within me. This is something we always, it's called practicing the presence of God. If anyone here doesn't like that word God, you know, you can change it to anything you want. It doesn't matter. But you have to know that there's a power inside of you. And you're honoring that power. And that power is honoring you. And when you yell and scream and go all crazy, you're not honoring yourself nor the power. So if you're not honoring yourself or the power, you're absolutely doing damage to your soul. I am never separated from God. This is the other thing. Why did this happen? Maybe that woman that was going to do this little nose procedure, maybe she was up all night drinking and her hand would have been shaking and she would have made a horrible scar on my face. You see. So maybe this was the way I was protected from that. You always have to think there has to be a reason behind this. But when a lesson comes in front of you, it comes in front of you to show you something. Ah, here this lesson is, Dallas, don't go berserk. Look at it differently, you see. My old way would have just been to be go berserk. And the most interesting thing, the supervisor of a meeting came out and she said, you absolutely have a right to be upset. You absolutely have a right to be upset is complete grace mind, by the way. You have no right to be upset. You have no right to be upset. But grace mind wants to tell you that. You see, grace mind always has to justify everything. And I didn't have a right to do that. Now, if I had yelled and screamed and done a lot of things, people would have still said, we understand how you could get upset. You had a right to do that. They shouldn't have done that to you at all. Now, when you hear the word, you have a right to do to that, you can be sure it's coming from race mind. Because you have to say, would God be doing this? How would God act in this situation? See? I give myself time to acknowledge God's precious embracing love. Prayerful moments enable me to become calm, collected, and relaxed. I release hurt or sadness, allowing such feelings to peacefully drift away. Now, it took me most of the afternoon for peaceful feelings to come to me, for the rest of it to drift away, because I have an ego also, and it loves to hang on to all this stuff, you see. And I went to one of the scenarios where I'll call them tomorrow and give them a piece of my mind. How dare they do this to me? Then I get to laughing because I can separate all the different things that are going on inside of my mind. It's just learning to become a witness to your thinking. What are you thinking? And do you really want to think that? And is it going to benefit you in any way? Mm-hmm. Is it going to benefit you in any way? No, it's not. Then I also remember, this is doing damage cellularly to me. And I do not want to do that to my body. You see, anger and all the emotions that you have, if you don't clear them and express them correctly, they will go in and do damage to you. But when you learn to express and when you learn to love it and bless it and release it, it doesn't do any damage to you. So it's just learning to think differently. Divine love flows throughout my being. I feel the tender assurance that I am never alone. My heart is comforted, and I am filled with new hope. So, that was my lesson for today. And we're going to continually have lessons. So, learn that you are creating yourself. Learn that you are a unique expression of God. Also learn that you're the rarest of the rare. There has never been anyone like you before, and there'll never be anyone like you again. And all the people that have been on this planet and all the people that are going to be in the planet, there's never going to be anyone like you. Why? Because you're creating yourself. And each experience that you have is unique to you. You know, people say, oh, I know exactly how you're feeling, or I know exactly what you mean. And they don't know that. They don't know that because we're individualized. Each experience that we have makes us different. And that's a wonderful thing. Isn't it nice to know that you're not like anybody else? Isn't it nice to know that you really are a unicorn? So when you think about that, and that you're one of a kind, you see, this is why you can never compare yourself to anybody. So when you see somebody else, they're unique also. But you don't compare yourself to that because you're unique also. You have all the unique qualities they have all. They're different. But you're both unique. But we think, oh, that other person is more unique than I am. That's not true. They may have had more experiences, but you're going to have those experiences. And it's going to change your life. Each experience that you have, be thankful that you're having those experiences. You know, we think we want life just to be humdrum. Who wants a humdrum life? That's not why you're here. You're here because something is going to be presented to you for you to look at yourself. For you to be able to look at yourself and say, oh, is this what I want to see? Is this the person I want to see? One that yells and screams and carries on and gets all upset. Is this the person I want to see? And you can change it by watching what you're doing and giving yourself a different choice. And giving yourself a different choice. So when you realize that you're creating yourself, now you can't place the blame on anybody. You can't place the blame on anybody. And where do most people place the blame? They place it on their parents. The poor parent gets beaten down all the time. Now, I'm not saying that all parents are wonderful people. I liked my parents very much, but they were no day at the beach, I can assure you. But we have to say, yes, they did these different things, but now I have a choice. Once you realize that you have a choice in life of how you're going to respond to even the old things in your life that happened from your parents, now you have freedom. If you think, oh, they did that to me, what are you ever going to do? You can't change it. You can't change it. You see, many people are waiting for the parents to say something nice to them or appreciate them or do this, that, the other thing. I doubt it. If they haven't done it by now, they're not going to do it. So give that up. Remember what Scott Peck said? Don't look for love where it is unattainable. And that's what happens to most of us. We're always looking for love where it's unattainable. So, there's plenty of people out there who want to love you. There's plenty of people out there that want to tell you what you want to hear. Go for those people. Don't go always for the ones that you're not going to get what you want from. That's insanity. So, most people are looking for love in all the wrong places. Don't do that to yourself, you see? Don't do that to yourself. So, with all of this, it's always going to boil down, with my experience this afternoon, with every experience we have, what does it boil down to? You have to say to yourself, am I worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and do I matter? Do I matter enough not to make an asshole out of myself in this situation? You see, do I care about myself not to do this to myself? And then you can start to really live your life the way you want to. Because it's coming from your thinking. It's coming from your mind. So we're going to get bigger and better thoughts about ourselves. We're going to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. At all times, we matter. And so this incident happened to me today. Didn't mean that they were out to get me. Didn't mean anything. And I also had in mind the woman. I knew the woman that probably did it. Her name's Alicia. And I was going to call her and say, well, you're an idiot. Now, what good would that do? What good would that do? It won't do me a bit of good, and certainly it may hurt her. And am I out to hurt people? Years ago, somebody said to me, Dallas, it's very easy to hurt people. Why don't you try healing them? And it is. We can always go to hurt. It's the easiest and fastest thing we can do. So don't be running around hurting. Be running around healing people and loving people. This is what we want to do. So, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Let's do the metaphor.
That's right.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So how many people remember that little thing, that you're responsible for your actions and your reactions? You know, most people will say right away, oh yes, I know I'm responsible for my actions. But they will not take responsibility for the reactions. Why? Because they say somebody else made them react that way. Something else made them react that way. Nothing makes you do anything but you. Nothing can make you do anything but you. And it's your thoughts that are doing it. It's your thoughts always going to boil down to your thinking. And what are you thinking about yourself every minute of every day? Last week, or the first week, I think, in December, we started our little mantra thing with, I love myself. And how many people here are still doing that? You weren't here for that one, I don't think. And you two weren't here for that. But the mantra is, I love myself. And you have to say that to yourself morning, noon, and night. Remember we used to do wonderful, wonderful me? Mm-hmm. Now start doing, I love myself. I love myself. And see where that goes inside of you. And learn to love yourself. Regardless, you know, I was upset, I was angry, I was... I could have killed somebody today. But through that whole thing, I had to love myself. I had to love myself. If I would have beaten myself up on top of it, what good would that have done? No good whatsoever. No good whatsoever. So you have to love yourself. So every day, say to yourself, I love myself. And say it to yourself as many, many times as you can during the day. See the difference that it will make in your life. And it will make a big difference. We do not hear that enough. We do not hear that enough. And we're certainly afraid to admit it to ourselves. We're afraid to admit to ourselves that we love ourselves. You see, we're afraid to admit to ourselves that we're lovable also. Because the little ego mind always has something in store, doesn't it, to tell you, well, really, do you remember you did this, this, and this? If people only knew what you do when they're not around. I'm no longer shocked at that one. I don't care what people, and I do a lot of things and people aren't around. I just love it. They don't have to know it, do they? No. You don't have to run around telling people what you do. But you have to love yourself while you're doing it, regardless of what it is. Regardless of what it is. Why do you have to love yourself for everything and also for everything that you're doing? Because this thing called God is working in as and through you, so God's doing it also. If you do something that you think is wrong, you think God runs the other way and says, well, I'll leave you alone till you come to your senses. God never leaves you. God never leaves you. Now, why do you think, besides being on this plane of action, to discover love, to discover self-love, to be able to control your emotions and all, why do you think God would have created human beings and all this wonderful planet and all this wonderful universe in the first place? So that God could experience everything. so that God could experience everything. How else is God going, if God just didn't have anything out there, human beings or animals or trees and stuff? What good would it do? Wouldn't do any good. So all these things are here for God to experience itself, and for you to experience yourself, and for you to enjoy this whole thing. To enjoy this whole experience and this whole wonderful planet that we live in. I told you before about people, well, I used to wear a boutonniere all the time when I was a minister, and people would say, why do you wear that flower? And I said, I wear that flower to remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. And we live in a wonderful world that produces all this beauty, all these wonderful things to see. So how do you think, if God really wanted to punish people, which people think, why would he make the environment so beautiful? You see? It's a beautiful world that we live in. We have to learn to see that. You just came back from Yosemite. Look how gorgeous that is. All the beauty that's out there. And we have to learn to look at it and appreciate it and say, thank you. You know, I'm glad I'm not living on the moon. You know, if you want punishment, if you want a hostile world, move to the moon. So now, if you're living here, you know it's not a hostile world. Why can't you start to enjoy it? Why can't you give up that idea that it's a struggle? Or that something else is going on? There's nothing else going on. The only thing that's going on out there is love, and it's waiting for you to recognize that that's what's going on. So give up that idea that you're here for any type of punishment, or that you're here. I had a friend who wrote me a thing today on the internet. I sent her something that somebody had sent me about forgiving. She wrote back and said, well, who should I forgive? I wrote back and said, forgive yourself. She wrote back and said, well, I'll try to do that, but I think a little bit of guilt is all right. Now, yeah, a little, and people often say that. A little bit of guilt is all right. People think that guilt's a motivator and that guilt will keep you in line and so forth. Give that idea up. If you have one guilty thought, if you feel guilty for anything, give it up. Give it up. It comes from your own vain imaginings in your mind. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And people live with guilt all their life thinking, oh, this is normal. Guilt is not normal. Shame is not normal. They're not emotions. They're man-made. They're man-made. And we have all kinds of guilt, don't we? Catholic guilt, Jewish guilt, this guilt, that guilt. And people think that it's all right. And people use guilt to motivate people, to get them to do, to manipulate is the word I'm looking for. People use guilt to manipulate you. Don't be manipulated by that. You know, my Aunt Catherine was, I think, in her 90s, and I took her to the drugstore, and she was going up and down the candy aisle, filling up the basket. I was throwing the stuff in there, bag after bag, and I said, Aunt Catherine, don't you feel guilty about buying all that candy? She looked at me and she said, Dallas, at my age, I don't feel guilty about anything. So I use that in my own when I'm walking around and I get a guilt. I thought, what? At my age, I'm not feeling guilt anymore. I'm not. So at your age, whatever age you are, say, what? My age, I'm not feeling this anymore. I'm not feeling guilty anymore. If I want all that candy, I'm going to buy all that candy. You know, don't wait till you're 90. To give that up. Give it up now. See, it's easy. We fall into that. That's that race mind thing that we fall into all the time. And this woman that wrote this back to me is very intelligent. And here again, you see, intelligence has nothing to do with anything. What's the most important thing you have?
Your imagination.
Yes. It has nothing to do with intelligence. Remember, Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Without imagination, you're going to get nowhere. So, can you imagine how you would feel if you had no shame or guilt in you? Can you imagine how you would feel? Then start feeling that and start acting as if. That's how you use your imagination. As soon as you get a thought and you use your imagination, if you want to be wealthy, how would it feel to be wealthy? Then you start acting as if that were so. But most people are sitting around waiting until they get wealthy and then they're going to feel wealthy. If you're sitting around waiting to feel wealthy, to get wealthy, you'll never get wealthy. And if you do get wealthy, you won't feel wealthy. You won't feel wealthy. I was telling the story about a person who went from a $40,000 job to a $70,000 job and now to a $90,000 job. The person has not stretched the consciousness one bit and still feels poor. See, money is never the issue, people. And you keep thinking it is. The issue is always, how am I feeling? How am I feeling about this? The life of the organism is feelings. Do I feel wealthy? And then start feeling wealthy, and money will start to come to you. Anything that you want in life, you first must feel what it would feel like. And with that feeling and your thought, you will manifest something. You will manifest what you want. But without that, you won't do it. It has to start with feeling. Remember then the fox? You must have warmth of feeling. You must have warmth of feeling. So concentrate on your feelings. How am I feeling? But always, how am I feeling about myself? At this present moment, am I really loving myself? Do I like myself exactly the way I am at this moment? And here is the problem that people run into. No, I don't like myself exactly at this moment. Because you think you're going to stay that way all your life. No one stays anyway all their life. No one stays the way they are for 1 minute. In the next minute, you change. In the next minute, you change. But you hold on to that. Ah, I can't give that up. Give it up. Just let it go. Whatever happened this morning is gone. I don't drag that with me. It's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. I could wish that we're different, but it's not. The whole idea in life is learning to love what is. Meaning, you must learn to love what is in front of you. What is in front of you right now, then start to love what is in front of you right now. Instead of saying, letting your mind say, this could be better. Or I wish I were at a different meeting and not this meeting. You see. You must always be bringing your mind back to your body. And you allow your mind to float all over the place. It's home. It's wrapping Christmas gifts. Thinking about the Christmas tree. It's doing this and the other thing. You must bring your mind back to your body because then you're in the present moment. If you want to get in the present moment and you think you're not in the present moment, grab a hold of something. Hold it with your hand. Anchor yourself in the moment and stay in that moment. But we don't do that. We let our minds take us here, there, and everywhere. Staying in the present moment. There's where all the power is, and that's where the creation comes from. See, I cannot undo or recreate what happened to me this morning. That's a goner. But I can change my mind and how I'm feeling about the situation. And I can learn to love, bless, and release it. and let those people do whatever they want to do. But if I meddle with all that and try to change that, that's crazy making. It's not going to happen. So, that's the past. I don't dwell in the past. I dwell in the now. So now I have to know that everything is in divine right order. And the procedure will happen when it happens. And I'll probably have a better doctor, and then this will happen, and that will happen. It will work out much better. And that's what you have to know. Remember the three things to remember. I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. It's a good way to run your life and live your life. Because then you realize that something is happening. And you're going to have what I call the nits and fleas in life. And that was the nit and flea in life today. You know. And now it's gone. Plus, I got to see an area of town I never saw before, so that was pretty good. So, but you have to, it's done with your thinking. It's controlling your thoughts. It's becoming a witness to what you're seeing and what you're thinking all the time. But know that you are your own creation and that you're creating yourself. And how do you want to create yourself? And do you want to sit around in your mental world? Remember, it's a mental world we live in. We're using our mind. With your mind holding on to shame or guilt. It's not necessary. You see, it's not necessary. Years ago I said this, and I'll repeat it many times. Name of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. You see, I named it that. If I hadn't said, you're going to learn to control your mind, no one would come. But a lot of people have made money while they've been here and have learned a lot about themselves and about money. But money is never the issue. What most people are here for is to gain peace of mind so that you can forgive these things quickly, so that you can do all this and have peace of mind. See? And not tell us how many people have a story, like this morning, and they'll hang on to that and tell that 9,000 times. You see, this is the last time the story is going to be told. It's gone, you see. Remember the Lord's Prayer. It says daily bread. It says daily bread. It doesn't say, I'll have yesterday's stale bread, please. So when you go back in the past, you're eating stale bread, which means you're thinking thoughts and using stale thoughts that you've used the day before. Why don't you get up every morning and say to yourself, I want new thoughts in my head. I want different thoughts in my head. And you will start to have them. You cannot live, move, and have your being in the mind of God, which is infinite, and then be thinking the same thought for the last 30 years. And how many people here have that same thoughts keep coming up? That's using yesterday's bread. And that is not what we're here for. We're here for daily bread. New thoughts, every minute, every day. There's too much going on out there. The world is entirely too vast to think the same thoughts over and over and over. Can't do it. So ask for new thoughts. Remember when I say God is useful? This is when God comes in handy. Say, listen, I've been thinking that I don't like that thought. Send me a new one. Give me a new thought here. And you will get new thoughts. You will. It has to respond to you. Why does it have to respond to you? Because you are it. Because you are it. This whole month of December is to teach you to love yourself and to teach you that you're not separated from this thing called God. But you and God are one and the same. So you have to start saying to yourself, I am it. There's no other. There's you. I am it. So if you are it, then you can think new thoughts. can think bigger thoughts, higher thoughts. All life is elevating your thinking. Thinking bigger, better thoughts about yourself. And it starts with the whole idea of self-love. And knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. This is what life is. I have cards. Always have cards. There come moments in your life when you realize that you have only one thing, and that is yourself. The only thing you ever have is yourself. Anything else that you have, you're only using. But you'll always have yourself throughout eternity. So don't you think it's time to give up guilt? Do you want to carry it throughout eternity? Okay. You have to change your mind now on this plane of action, because death does not improve you. Death does not improve you. Aren't you the one who knows Betty Davis? Remember? When they said told Betty Davis that Joan Crawford died, Betty said, does it mean she's changed? No, death doesn't improve you. Your inner tension comes from not loving. From not loving. Oh, I don't know what that is. Oh, your inner tension comes from not loving certain parts of yourself. There's some parts of ourselves we don't love. You have to love every part. That's all the warts and anything. The anger. All that. And I know I have anger, you know. And I also know I used to have a very wicked tongue, you know. They called me the man with the stainless steel tongue. Because I could cut somebody down quicker than anything. I don't do that anymore. You see, I choose not to do that. I choose not to do that. And Rhoda doesn't do that with sarcasm anymore, because she read sarcasm cuts the flesh. And sarcasm is one of the easiest things to do. I can do sarcasm faster than anything. But I don't do it because it hurts people. It absolutely cuts the flesh. It's our words. Our words are powerful. They are always going someplace and doing something. So why don't we use them to uplift and to heal instead of destroy and put down? Think of that. Your life has been based on the supposition that there is something wrong with you that you've got to fix. You've got to know right now that you're perfect. That you're whole and complete and perfect. Regardless. You have to know that. And you have to know that even with your cold, you love yourself. And we don't get upset when we're sick. We say, oh, this came to pass, came to teach me something, and I want to leave quickly. I can learn very fast. It will not take me 3 days, 20 years. How's your finger?
I don't know.
It's okay. Okay, all right. You are who you are, the end product of billions of experiences. So you begin by acknowledging that you are who you are. You are who you are, the end product of billions of experiences. If you, in your life, realize that you're in a laboratory here, and these are all experiments, and you're putting yourself through experiments, and how are you looking at those experiments? So that was an experiment today for me. It was an experience and an experiment to see how I was going to handle myself. You see? You're in school, but a life school. And you're learning. And we think, oh, we know it all. We'll never know it all. But each experience is creating you. So each experience, it's your choice and how it's going to affect you. You see, I could become mean, bitter, and hateful. But I made up my mind years ago. I watched more people, older people, become mean, bitter, and hateful. Just because they're getting old, just because life didn't do what it was supposed to do for them, this, that, and everything. I made up my mind, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to wake up and be mean, bitter, and hateful. Choices. All choices. The reality is this. Thoughts are in motion around you at all times. We're always moving in and out of thought atmospheres. And those thought atmospheres affect us. And we have to choose how they are affecting us. Is this going to make me this? Is it going to make me that? See, we can choose at any moment. And we can always have somebody say, you have a right to do that. You don't have a right to do that. You never have a right to hurt anybody. Think of a happy thought and you will be blissful. Remember they used to say, do you have a place to go? Quiet, cool, nice place inside of you. Find that place. Some with your thoughts. Close your eyes a moment. Think of something really wonderful. And see how your body changes. Thoughts are chemical reactions. And they send out all kinds of endorphins throughout your body. And they manufacture your feelings. Done with your mind. You cannot escape this idea that it's a mental world and that everything is done with mind. Everything is done with mind. So what is your mind thinking? What is your mind thinking? Is it always thinking abundance and prosperity? At this time of year, is it thinking goodwill towards men? You see, we think of this time of year goodwill towards men, and we think about it for about 2 weeks. Then after Christmas and New Year's, we go right back to the same thing. We go right back to the same thing. Remember I told you could always tell when it's Sunday by the thought atmosphere that's going on. Sunday is much lighter. The whole atmosphere is much lighter that you live in. And about 5 o'clock on Sunday night it starts to change because people have to get ready for work and all the misery comes back into the world again. You can find that same thing on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, because of candlelight services and everyone's going to church, the thought atmosphere changes completely. If anyone wants to do prayer work, by the way, do it early in the morning before Race Mind wakes up. Don't try to do it in the middle of the day. It's very hard to get through anything in the middle of the day. There's too many thought atmospheres going on early in the morning. Race Mind isn't up yet. Think of that. I get up every morning. I love mornings. Beautiful. Mastery comes by realizing that you can choose your responses. Mastery. You can choose your responses. That's your reaction. How are you responding to life? How are you responding to things that happen to you? Which thoughts you pull in and what actions you bring about in your life? What thoughts are you pulling in? You're the one that's pulling the thoughts in. So learn. Remember the whole idea. Learn to think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel. You're the one that's doing that. You're the one that's creating that. So why would you ever want to feel a bad feeling or if they have a bad thought when you know that you can choose otherwise? You can choose otherwise. Remember, the choice is always, there's a garden on this side and a garbage heap on that side. Which one do you want to look at? Which one do you want to look at? You know? Metaphysically, in the Bible, turn the other cheek. What do people interpret that means? If you get slapped on one cheek, you let them slap you in the other cheek. To turn the other cheek means to turn in the other direction. You're looking at garbage, for Christ's sake. Turn and look at the garden. Turn the other cheek. Now, while we're on that, the word repent that's in the Bible. Repent, repent, repent. Repent only means to change your mind. You're thinking wrong. Repent. Change your mind. That's how simple life is. It's a choice. It's a choice between this and that, between this and that, between this and that. But you keep going to the garbage. Go to the other way. You came to the earth plane to experience the full range of emotions and to become master of those emotions. The full range of emotions and to become master of those emotions. So start becoming a witness to your own thinking. That the whole month and next year, love yourself and say to yourself, morning, noon, and night, I love myself. Does anyone remember Dr. Pepper? The Dr. Pepper bottle used to say 2, 10, and 4. You were supposed to drink it at 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or 10, 2, and 4. 10 in the morning, 2, and then 4 at night. Use that for I love myself. Do it at 10, 2, and 4. We have to train ourselves to think the thought that we want to think. And the thought we want to think is, I love myself. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.